it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964 or email focus@clare.fm.
You're very welcome back to the programme, 0861 800 964. The text number, and of course, as you heard there, focus@clare.fm if that suits you as well. Willie Redmond served as an MP for Clare from 1892 until 1917, when the popular Wexford-born politician lost his life fighting for the British Army. Redmond had been unopposed in every election since 1900, and for the first time a new name would be on the East Clare ballot. Two men, Sinn Féin's Emma de Valera and Irish Parliamentary Party's Patrick Lynch, went head-to-head, and well, we all know what happened. With an East Clare seat, De Valera went on to be president of Sinn Féin and led them to a massive victory in the 1918 general election. He would represent Clare until 1959, and today, July 10th, 2017, is exactly 100 years since that important vote. And historian Dr. Tomás McNamara joins me in studio this morning. Tomás, good morning to you.
Hi, Pat.
It often occurred to me De Valera was a lucky devil in many respects. He didn't get a bullet after 1916. How much would our history have changed if he had faced the firing squad that day?
Oh, that's a very difficult. I mean, so the if questions are always very difficult to answer, Pat. I mean, in the context of 1917, I suppose, first of all, I'm not sure if it had been all that different. Because, of course, De Valera was picked because when Sinn Féin were presented with this opportunity, which, as you said, follows the death of Willie Redmond, they had to consider who would be their best candidate. And I suppose it was about what the candidate represented more than, you know, who the candidate was. So De Valera was a surviving commandant of the Easter Rising. You know, he had an American connection. He had a background in academics, so he was a relatively strong candidate in that context. If De Valera had gotten a bullet, they would have considered somebody else. And we know there was a big list of candidates for the 1917 candidature. So, you know, the likes of Pat O'Clancy, for example, was seriously considered. Owen McNeill was considered as well, mightn't have been as palatable to the volunteer movement. But there were plenty other candidates who would have been put forward and most likely would have been elected under the Sinn Féin ticket. And, you know, afterwards, then we don't know how far that candidate might have gone. De Valera obviously is a peculiar individual in the sense of you know what he actually stood for himself, and I suppose, or what he didn't stand for, or the vagueness surrounding him sometimes throughout his political career, and that in itself brought, you know, new dimensions into Irish political life over many, many decades. So it's a very difficult one to answer, but in the context of 1917, if he had been shot in the Easter Rising, another candidate would have been selected from the available candidates and would have, I think, been successful.
And you mentioned, of course, the American heritage, which probably saved him, because the Brits who had been presumably afraid to shoot an American.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely put forward as a really strong reason as to why De Valera wasn't executed. And it's probably one of the principal ones. I mean, the American involvement, or the possibility of American involvement in World War One, was hugely important in 1917. And is really significant even in terms of mid-1917 and the election, because the Irish Convention, which was first mooted in May 1917 by David Lloyd George, the British Prime Minister, and which was officially announced around the same time as the Easter by-election, was the most significant attempt in Irish history to resolve Anglo-Irish relations. And it was done on the basis that the British government could see there was a shift in political support and in the consciousness, I suppose, of the Irish people. And the Irish Convention was an attempt to A, curb that rise of Republican sentiment, and B, sate the increasing Irish-American lobby in America so as to secure American support in World War One, or as to consolidate that.
Yes.
So that connection is very significant.
How important is it that, well, first of all, that the De Valera connection is taught to our young people growing up? Is a hugely important part of our history. But how important is it that we remember De Valera, and particularly this anniversary today, for example?
Do you know what, Pat? I think in a way you can separate both, because the 1917 election is about more than De Valera. Mm-hmm. You know, it's about more, and that's why I indicated that if somebody other candidate was put forward,
there was somebody
he was likely to be successful.
Yeah.
You know, the 1917 election wasn't really about a really clearly established, coherent political philosophy. It was more about an energy, more about a momentum, more about mobilisation of a wider range of people. Their franchise was very limited in the East Clare by-election of 1917. You know, male householders over the age of 30, right? 1,000 potential voters. But Sinn Féin, or the National Movement maybe, mm-hmm. was a more accurately described, because it had a range of forces. They drew in the energies of young women, young men, old men, old women, who were outside of the franchise, many of them, into the actual campaign to elect a Sinn Féin candidate. And that was really significant. So we should certainly remember that mobilisation of support, that energy, and the real, you know, break from established norms that it represented in 1917. So De Valera as a candidate, and obviously his political career afterwards, you know, should be historically remembered. But the actual election is even distinct from that, because of the way in which it broke the established norm. And as you said, 25 years of Willie Redmond's presence as a parliamentarian in East Clare was hugely significant. Very popular MP, by the way, but it still was 25 years of the same types of politics. And then suddenly this massive new change comes in. And that is a hugely significant factor. And I suppose the bravery and the courage that it took to break that norm was significant, because there would have been an opinion, and certainly within the press and within the church authorities, for example, and the political establishment, as we might call it, of the time, there was a strong sense that, you know, you couldn't consider, you know, breaking the connection with England, that it was foolish, it was foolhardy to even utter that. And of course, there was a very repressive political environment as well, and those who did stand for separatism were often arrested and suppressed. So the fact that, you know, the National Movement was able to mobilise support behind that very radical concept of separatism and breaking the connection with England was hugely significant and should be remembered.
As a historian, Tomás, and researcher, where does De Valera rate, of all the characters from that era, Pearse, Michael Collins and so forth, as a character, as an Irish figure, how important to you is De Valera?
Well, you see, again, he's entirely separate from the men you mentioned, because all of those men were executed, and even others like Collins afterwards. You know, it's impossible to compare them, because De Valera had the benefit in some ways of living, and the misfortune of living well beyond that period, because it's an entirely different analysis then, because you can't exclude the decades that followed. And for example, you know, in 1917 De Valera stood for, you know, or at least stood on the platform of a very radical political philosophy, so on that basis, you know, he represents radical republicanism. Mm-hmm. But afterwards, you know, because of the decades long involvement in Fianna Fáil, and in many cases for the Republican movement, was a suppressor of republicanism. He stood over in the 1940s when three Republicans died on hunger strike in the 1940s. So there are a variety of different views and opinions on Éamon de Valera, but they're all that wide because of the fact that he lived for so long.
But must have been a hugely interesting character to research and read about.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, no question. Again, sticking with 1917, he comes into the county, into the constituency, Pat, and you know, there's a huge issue about his name, first of all, irrespective of what he stood for. People were really annoyed at the fact that Sinn Féin would select a candidate that had such a name, was one of the comments that was made. Somebody in East Clare called him the Devil May Care. That's what he made out of De Valera. But he's a really interesting character, and I think in many ways was an archetypal statesman, and a shrewd individual, because he brought with him Owen McNeill, and I think this is one of the most interesting points. He brought Owen McNeill with him on the canvas. And Owen McNeill, for the increasingly strong Irish Volunteers and the IRB, was a figure of hate, really, because of his stance in the Easter Rebellion of 1916. But De Valera knew that by bringing McNeill with him, he would expand the reach of Sinn Féin, because McNeill would appeal to the softer edges of the National Movement. He would appeal to the clergy, for example, who could accept McNeill, you know, more than they could accept other more radical elements of the rising. So I think De Valera is a really interesting character, because he arrives at a time when maybe he was needed to bring together the range of forces. Because remember, in July 1917, when this East Clare election occurred, there was no real Sinn Féin political party. It was a national movement that was under the umbrella of Sinn Féin. Yeah. It was only in October, when the convention of Sinn Féin occurred, that they came out as a coherent political party, and Éamon de Valera as the president of that party. So in mid-1917, they needed somebody, I suppose, to represent maybe all of the different elements of the diverse movement. And De Valera was the person who could do that. Maybe Pat O'Clancy couldn't, because Pat O'Clancy was on the more radical element of the Republican movement at the time. So he's a really interesting figure in terms of how he manages to come at the right time within the right period.
Okay. I'm sorry to rush you, Tomás, but we have you have a book, I believe, coming out next month as well, which deals with all of this.
That's right. I have a book which is called Days of Hunger, which explores the entire period of 1917, but focuses principally, Pat, on the Mountjoy hunger strike of 1917, which occurs in September, 3 months after the Easter by-election, but very much follows from what the Republican movement saw as this confrontational politics, how it stimulated support, and led to a real confrontation of British rule, led to the Mountjoy hunger strike, the death of Tomás Ashe, and the participation of 16 clear Republicans on that hunger strike.
Very good, Tomás. Thank you very much for your time this morning. Historian Dr. Tomás McInamara speaking to us on the programme this morning.
Your opinion counts. Text Clare FM's Morning Focus, 086 1800 964.